Hello, I'm Stephanie Gillard, the Producing Artistic Director at American Stage. Welcome to Spotlight, the American Stage podcast, where we illuminate the artistry and ideas behind the stories. Hey there, I'm Sadie Lockhart, the Community Engagement Associate at American Stage. Today's episode is a recording of our live Zoom creative conversation event entitled A City of the Arts. Stephanie Gillard, our Producing Artistic Director, is joined by Chris Steinecker, the CEO of the St. Petersburg Chamber, for a conversation about reimagining our city of the arts, the St. Pete Way.
Good evening, everyone. Hi. Welcome to Creative Conversations. This is Stephanie Gillard, the CEO and Producing Artistic Director at American Stage, and so grateful that you are able to join us for a 30-minute conversation tonight. This is our second creative conversation. Last week, we talked about a creative comeback and spoke with the Executive Director of the St. Pete Arts Alliance, John Collins, on the ecosystem of our arts community and what are some of the considerations that we are examining as we consider what it will be to come back together make it safe to come back together and enjoy our arts community. But also what are the arts communities and specifically what is American Stage doing during this period of time? And tonight we're going to move the conversation to talking about the arts as part of the business landscape, specifically of St. Pete, but of Pinellas County as a whole. And I'm really excited that the CEO of our St. Pete Chamber of Commerce, Chris Steinecker, is here with us tonight to talk about what a recovery looks like and how the arts and business community are going to work together to ensure that we do come out of this stronger than ever. First, I'd like to show you a little video from Americans for the Arts that put the conversation tonight into some perspective. So see how our technology works, and when we're ready on the tech side, please go, because I'm just vamping now. Jared?
The arts. They bring us inspiration and joy, and they make our communities beautiful places to live and to work. But there's more. Nonprofit arts and cultural organizations are also businesses. Nationally, the arts generate $166.3 billion in economic activity. Dinner and a show go hand in hand. When we go to an arts event, we often begin the experience with a meal. We pay for parking, go out for dessert or drinks after the show, and return home and pay the babysitter. The average attendee spends $31.47 per person, and that doesn't even include the cost of admission. Out-of-towners and tourists spend even more. All that spending is good for local businesses and good for the economy. Nationally, the arts support 4.6 million jobs. The arts, creating better places to live, supporting jobs, generating government revenue, and the cornerstone of tourism. The arts mean business. Learn more on the new Arts and Economic Prosperity Study at americansforthearts.org/economic impact.
I don't know if you caught that one of the last images there was a set of an outdoor stage, which I just love, and I can't wait to go back and take a look at that to get inspired for when we get to bring American Stage in the Park back. So I wanted to set that up as part of the beginning of our conversation, because as we talk about how much we miss our arts organizations and how much we can't wait to come back together to enjoy the performances, one of the parts of that conversation that we need to make sure we're making space for is the recognition that the arts are not only something that we're proud to have and that improve the quality of life in our community just from a pure entertainment standpoint, but they're also a key component of our business landscape. And in St. Pete, we have wrapped our arms around being a city of the arts, and our businesses have flourished as a result of that. So just to put a little bit of that national information into some local context, I'm going to quickly provide some information about Pinellas County numbers. And Jared, if you can pull that slide up while I'm chatting, and then I'm going to ask Chris to join us in the conversation. So Americans for the Arts does a terrific job of really evaluating what the economic impact of arts organizations in our communities are. This is a lot of information. We won't go through it all, but it just kind of tells the picture at the Pinellas County level. of what kind of impact the arts have on our economy. And that top line there, you can see that the total industry expenditures from our arts and culture organizations, this is our nonprofit arts and culture organizations throughout Pinellas County. These numbers are from 2015. So I think we can assume that over the last 4 years, 5 years, these numbers have done nothing but go up as we've seen our arts and businesses flourish. That we saw in 2015, approximately a $240 million dollar impact and expenditures. And at that next line, you look at jobs supported and amount of revenues being paid out by arts or nonprofit arts organizations and cultural institutions, over 7,000 jobs, full-time jobs, over $155 million in household income paid to residents. And then you see that government revenue that's generated through our nonprofit arts organizations and businesses. And that bottom information there is really key. I'm gonna try and make sense of that as it's the layout there is not real clear. But what that's looking at, and this is really key as we start to talk about what the collaborative and really integrative relationship between, say, American Stage and, say, the downtown restaurants. We know that when people go to the arts and they spend money at an arts event, they're also spending money at other businesses. And this quantifies that. And again, this is going back 4 or 5 years, so we can probably assume that some of these averages have likely gone up. But the average for a resident who comes and sees, for instance, a show at American Stage or participates in another arts event, they're spending on an average $28 in other non-arts related business activities per event that they attend. If they come from out of town, if they're a tourist or they're visiting an area, they spend quite a bit more than that, over $42 per person. So that's an average of $33 per person is being spent on restaurants, parking, hotels, et cetera, when people experience arts events in our city, in our community. So there is an obvious complementary relationship between the arts organizations and the other businesses in St. Pete. And we wanna talk about what that means going forward, because we know that our arts organizations will be impacted likely for a longer period of time, performing arts organizations, by the COVID crisis and by some of the other changes that we see happening around us. There's so much to talk about. We can't cover it all tonight. This is just scratching the surface, and I've already warned Chris he's going to have to come back to talk more. Please join me in welcoming Chris Steinecker, CEO of the St. Pete Chamber of Commerce, being with us, Chris.
Oh, thank you, and wow, what a great job there. You know, for a discussion on the arts, there was a lot of math in this problem here. There's a lot of numbers, and holy cow, but you proved your point there, and you didn't need to. For us at the Chamber, we really understand that arts is economic development, and for the last 11 years as the Chamber President, that's kind of how we've been leading it, Stephanie. So I appreciate it. I can't wait to dive into this with you, because there's so many other reasons we do it. It is for the economic impact, but it's about having a community that has all the other economic impacts. I will not be able to get marine scientists here. I will not be able to get the data analytics people here. I will not the creative services people here if the arts isn't here. So we have to lead with two things. We have to lead with the arts, and we have to lead with education if you're going to build a community where you want the kind of people that can contribute.
That's right. And there's some great information too. And thank you for saying that. And I know that you believe in that. And I want to say too, that Chris was one of the first people to reach out to me when I first got to St. Pete and said, we want to feature you and tell the story of you being here to take over the leadership of American Stage. So you welcomed me right away. And this is 5.5 years later, and who knew we would be in this place that we're in now. But you're right. The arts are not just about the dollars and cents that we directly bring in, but people, when we're looking at hiring, our businesses are looking at hiring, people look to things like what kind of cultural landscape does a community have when they're thinking about where they want to move, where they want to live, and where they want to work.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, when we do a lot of perception research to find out what people are thinking about when they want to relocate their business to a community. And the South in general, and Florida's in the South, gets painted with a broad brush. They don't believe that we have good education where they were educated, wherever that was from. The schools are no way good up there. And the arts, there's no way you have the kind of arts theater that we have where we're at. So what we've always had to prove is, and those are folks with resources, those are folks who have businesses, those are folks who invest in communities. So we've always realized Florida needs to even work harder to break that perception, because you and I know there's talent everywhere on our streets, all kinds of art, but I don't know, you know, we're just cracking the surface now of it being believable that it's a destination for that. But what we know is those businesses will not come here if we can't prove that.
Right.
I need you there.
It's interesting that you say that we have actually an additional hurdle to overcome because of perception. So that's an interesting consideration too. So tell us, Chris, we were talking a little bit in the backstage, the Zoom backstage, about what's going on right now and how this is an ever-changing, continuing to change every day, how dynamic things are, making our jobs really particularly interesting. But tell us what's going on as you see it with businesses right now as it relates to COVID.
You know what I really see, Stephanie and Asos? I see a very fragile and vulnerable community. Right now that has taken a lot of hits. So we have weathered the first COVID storm rather well, but we hurt from that just as any community did. But as you and I know, we've talked about it, we hurt from that. And now when we include our notion of what bias means now in the protests and what that has done to our community and the just hurt our psyche a little bit as a community. And now I mean it when I say the numbers aren't looking good at all for COVID again. I track the numbers every day because we know that they may call businesses back in the isolation. We might have to close our businesses if the numbers get too high. And believe it or not, Stephanie, in the last 5 days, the daily average has tripled in the amount of COVID positive cases here in Pinellas County. And the best news, though, is our hospitals are handling it. The volume of our hospitals is still safe. So if you and I get it, we can get help. So when you couple all this together, you just have a fragile community, because you and I know it's a small community. We call it the best, greatest little city on earth. But so when you see each other every day, you see that pain in each other now. And you know, that's why I can't wait to have some of your stuff come online so we can feel a little other emotion than pain right now. We need something else.
We need something that give us some hope and keep us connected, which is what we're trying to do with our virtual work. And, you know, it's interesting. I think about when you and I first connected about having this conversation, that was, I don't know, 3 or so weeks ago. And it seemed reasonable at that time. You know, things were starting to open up and we were on a good, you know, beginning of a good phased trend to be talking about, you know, a more hopeful, longer term vision. Yep. For, you know, really to be the basis of tonight's conversation. But because of just the last few days, what's happened, we really are talking about what continued patience and continued measured response to the situation, really, rather than being able to start to move forward into a re-envisioning phase yet.
Yeah, I really thought for now, I thought for sure we would have been in recovery, definitely talking about, okay, everybody is almost back, and here's 5 cool ideas that we're all going to live, you know, from it. And I think it shows how fragile we all are and how honest we all need to be with each other. Stephanie, the thing I've been amazed about is, are we really having the honest conversation? That's why what you guys get to do in art and just the especially when you bring stories to life, you're allowed to be honest. The stories somehow are able to tell a real story here. And I don't think as leaders, as community leaders, we're just not having the right story, that we're not having the right conversation still. So I'm nervous.
That's a great point. I'm just wondering, and while I'm mentioning this, I want to make sure that anybody who's listening, if you want to pose any questions to either Chris or myself, please type them into the type them in there. We'll at the very end take time for just a couple of questions. But I'm just wondering if there's a more prominent role. There's so many conversations being had right now, and you're part of a lot of those conversations that arts organizations like American Stage, you know, one of the things that we know how to do is to tell a story and to communicate. And as I said, you know, we're pivoting and trying to find ways to do that. We started our Shakespeare festival this month, and we'll be looking at other, you know, producing other programming. But is there something as it relates to more specifically to community and to recovery that we should be talking about So that, you know, really that we're really coming together on what's important to our community right now. Because that's something that I'm really recognizing as we look at what is most needed from us right now. It's less about bringing what's happening globally. And a lot of times we're trying to bring issues that are really big, you know, national issues or global issues. And that's still really important. But it seems right now that the most important thing we could do for our community is be a voice for what's happening right here.
Right. And see, I get goosebumps when you say the words "our community," because what is, which community? You're like, so who are we reaching, and who are we listening, and who are we getting our information from? So what is the community that we're getting our information from, and who are we giving our information out to? I would tell you the community we get our information from is not the community you want to reach. I would say, you know, we've got to be real careful about reaching our community so we feel connected. And I think because of COVID and what we've learned here is, I go back to Maslow all the time. My whole, how I've led for 30 years in communities is you got to make people feel safe, they got to matter, and they got to belong. And right now, those are really at risk in our community right now. So where does art fit in? Where does storytelling fit in? It's about that belonging. And like when you said our community, like I'm wondering, wow, what community? Tell me more about the community you see in your mind right now, because talk to them, you know, like, so we got to find our communities and really nurture community right now. We need to belong.
That's part of the conversation, isn't it? It's really about, I mean, if there's something positive to come out of all of this, it's that not only is this an opportunity, it is an essential component of our recovery that we start talking to each other in ways that we never have. And you talked about being honest, and I talked a little bit lately about being what it means to really be vulnerable. And I think that this is, if ever there was a time to break down barriers and really do a close look at what's working, what's not working, and who are we including when we say community, and who are we not, and how are we making space for everyone.
You use the word vulnerable, and I am in love with that word right now, because I think that is the word we all have to really understand what it means to us, because in that moment of being vulnerable is when we really are growing. And Stephanie, look around us right now. I mean, this world is screaming at us to change and to learn. And so being vulnerable is, if we can really learn how to do that and what it means for us, it will get us to that next level, and it will make sense to us. And leaders have to be vulnerable right now. And right now, after the attack of COVID and everything, it's just hard to be vulnerable. But you have to allow yourself right now.
We do. And I think inside of that, there's a messiness that sometimes as leaders, we're not real comfortable with. We like answers, and we like strategy and plans. And that's part of the vulnerability, right, is that recognition that it's, what you've been having to kind of talk about and address with people these last few days is different maybe than a week or two ago. And
because when you're vulnerable, what do? You allow a community to help you, right?
So you
become part of that belonging that we so desperately need. So that's why it's actually upon us now to be that, so that we can create community. I really believe it's the missing part of this right now. And so when we say what community, we gotta long for it. We've gotta belong to it. We've gotta nurture it. We have to pay into this.
Yeah.
It's like a bank account.
Yeah. And I think I heard when you talked about just now, you said we need to be open to and accept help. I think what I heard you say earlier is that the way in which the arts community can help with the greater community in general is to provide kind of a way for us to really question what it means to be a community, and to ensure that we're inviting everyone into the conversation, that we're challenging ourselves not to be just talking, having the conversation between the same few people that are always having the conversation, and to provide both an outlet and an avenue for people to explore where we are, understand where we are, and reflect on where we really want to go.
Yeah, and remind everybody that we are safe, we do matter, and we belong in all that, and there is a place for us in all that. And that's when good storytelling, you know, like if you really look back at from the, you know, from the Great Depression on, when you just look at what happens in our life and what happens to the stories that are told. I can't wait to see what you guys are going to do, because think about the storytellers right now and what they're putting down. What I imagine what's in your head right now, what stories need to be told. I can't wait. We can't wait too long. Some of that needs to be part of our healing.
It is. It's part of the catharsis and part of the processing, because there's been so much to process right now. So I think we have a few questions that we're going to move into. And if that's true.
We do.
Yeah. Okay, great. Kristen, go ahead.
Sure. Tara wants to know, Chris, for your comment earlier, when you say that the conversations that you hear from our business community are not as honest as they could be, what do you mean by that?
And thank you for the question. I'm glad someone followed up to call me on that, because I'm from everything, from any one of the major issues society is going through right now. I'll go through St. Pete, because I'll own it. In St. Pete, we are nice. We care about each other. We don't want to hurt anybody right now. At least the people that I see and Stephanie sees at around our community. We don't want to hurt each other. So sometimes, rather than have the hard conversation, we may just not. And with add to it, in a chamber of commerce world where there's party politics, red and blue, the chamber has to be purple. But some you have to be in the middle somewhere. And sometimes I will say something that sounds digestible by both parties, but I have just upset both parties and they will walk away from me. So in the hopes of trying to bring people together, sometimes purple is a very lonely color because you upset people. So it is hard. Now I'm so anxious for this COVID and for this pure notion of bias and how we can talk about it, that I think I feel the crack where people are like, we have to start going to the next level and really, really having the next level of conversation. And I see a lot of leaders up for it. I know I'm one of them. We're starting to have those, but I've been anxious for them for a while.
That's a great question. And thank you for your honest answer. I think that there is something about being afraid of not saying the right thing or offending someone that can get in the way of having the honest conversations. And having honest conversations means risking saying something that also means risking. And again, we're back
and
to
being
the vulnerability. Vulnerable
again, right?
Yeah,
being vulnerable.
Right. Yeah. And Kristen, is there something else out there? Because I do have another question for Chris, if you don't have something from the group.
There's less of a question and just a comment about from Jenny about, she says that we are as strong as oak trees, but need to be willows right now. We are a strong art community and very supportive. So thank you for that comment, Jenny.
Love it.
Yeah. And you know, this is honestly, it's not quite the conversation that I thought we were going to have when we first arranged to meet, because I'm excited to talk. You know, I know we all are wanting to talk about recovery, and we're wanting to talk about, you know, reimagining our city and really what that next renaissance is going to look like. But we have to continue to be patient right now, and use this time and really be conscious of how we're using this time. So I'm curious if you wouldn't mind, and I'm putting you a little bit on the spot, but how are you personally, I know you just well enough to have a good idea that the Chris we see as CEO of St. Pete Chamber of Commerce is Chris. But what can you share about just kind of how you're managing? Because you've been through your own journey, and we're so glad you're here with us and healthy.
I don't know
if you would come back to the job if you'd known what was awaiting you, but I have a feeling you would have said
no.
Keep you back.
No, I would never have come back if I'd known. No, actually, I got to be real honest with you. I'm having the time of my life right now, only because of you hinted to it. I had prostate cancer last year at this time. And when you think you're going to die, you make all kinds of promises. And if one of the promises is, I'll do whatever it takes. If you take this away and they take it away, you're going to do whatever it takes. I'm doing whatever it takes. I wake up every morning feeling blessed about it. I feel like we're so lucky to have the partners we have in this community right now. There are so many good people that care. And I want to have the right conversations, the honest ones, and I know others do too. And it's a scale. You and I can see each other, Stephanie, and we can't avoid each other. So I feel like this is the best place to get it right, to live the best life, to enjoy the finest things And that's why you're here, and that's why I'm so excited, because you bring some of that to us. So I'm enjoying it. It's been the hardest. I've worked harder in 6 months than I did in the last 5 years, no doubt about it. But it's been a blessing. I love it. My family's here close to me. We get more time together. I don't have ribbon cuttings at 7 o'clock at night. And I'm focused on my community. So what a blessing.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that so much, for what you're doing and for your commitment. And the very last question, I'm going to kind of put myself on the line a little bit by asking you to hold me to account. From your perspective, what can American Stage do right now for our community? We've talked about broadly that what the arts can do, but is there something specific right now?
Keep us safe by, can some of your creatives just tell the story of social distancing and mask wearing? Because Stephanie, we are at a point where if people don't listen to somebody about this, we're going to all go back into isolation, and you and I are going to have a really different conversation. So tell the story right now. Be the most audacious storytellers we can for our community about why safety matters for us all. And then we can always talk about bias next. So you guys can be a lot about the storytelling, and be brave about it is all I would tell you, because St. Pete's ready for it.
Be brave. I like that. And audacious. Two words that I love. Thank you. We will do that. We will do that. Thank you for the challenge. And to those who joined us tonight, thank you so much. If you missed us last week, we are creating audio versions of these conversations are on our podcast as well as on our website. Next week, we're talking about anti-racism in practice and American Stage's response to the Black Lives Movement, as well as our community's response. So look for some more lively and really important conversations that we'll continue to have as things continue to evolve around us. It's a compelling time right now to be thinking about how we take care of each other as individuals, and how, as individuals, we look to take care of our community. So thank you again, Chris, for everything that you do. Thank you all for being with us. Everybody stay safe. And please visit AmericanStage.org to be a part of the conversations all summer with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. You can visit our website to sign up for free to join us for our next live creative conversation each Monday in June at 6 p.m. And as always, we want to hear from you. What piece of this conversation resonated with you and your community? You can email us at podcasts@americanstage.org or like our Facebook page to join in on the conversation.
Thank you for joining Spotlight, the American Stage podcast. For more American Stage programs and news, visit americanstage.org.